Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I'm Will Harris, and today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures.
Hello, Greenhorns. This is Severin. This is Greenhorns Radio. I'm joined today by Dan. And Dan has been on a voyage, and I think it's different from a lot of people. We talk to a lot of people, but Dan, I think your journey is more unusual than most people.
Thank you.
Do you want to give us a short version? Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going over there?
Great. Yeah, I just came back from a literal voyage to Texas, actually. And, it's good to be back. Good to get ready for the next season.
What kind of a voyage?
Well, I was actually working on a farm down in Texas for a month, so I'm just getting back from that.
So tell us what's coming up this season and about those other voyages a little bit more.
Yeah, this season we're going on to a new piece of land right here in Hudson, actually. And we're really excited because we're finally going to actually centralize our operation and not be all over the place in different parts of Columbia County. And we're big fans of Hudson and being in Hudson. And that's kind of, to me, Hudson's really home. I got a lot of friends here. And it's just really exciting that we found this really gorgeous piece of land right here and can do everything that we want to do and have a little bit of funding to go with it as well, which is really going to take us to the next level. And so we're really excited.
So describe your operation. What's going to be planted and what kind of acreage you're talking? And also where exactly?
So headed out of Hudson, it's literally on where the property on the town line, when you go into Claverack on 23B, there's a big field there that we're planning to build some minor infrastructure and build our operation up from the ground up there. We're planning to grow up probably around about between three and 4 acres this season. And we're planning to also really shift our model a little bit more CSA based this year. And so we're looking to try and market vegetables in the city. We're also hoping to attend a couple more markets more locally. So we're applying to a few more. We'll see where that takes us. We also grow for a company called Field Goods, which is run by Donna Williams, who has given us a lot of support and especially business mentoring. And so that's been a really good partnership. So we kind of got a few things going. And then on top of that,
you already have your greenhouse?
We actually don't. we're waiting on March 1st for our funding to come through, and to really kind of kick things off. That's the date that we've set. We also have to hear back a little bit from the town board regarding putting up a couple of our structures, and that's also in the next couple of weeks. So really kind of keeping our fingers crossed that everything goes smoothly, which we think it will. But then we plan to build the greenhouse on March 1st and get things started then.
So, wow, what a journey. What a fun plan. I like where you are in the world right now. And you know that Greenhorns, our office, is right there in downtown Hudson.
I know. You know, that's actually funny. Our new house where we're living is literally a block from it. So, it's really just great to be back in Hudson. I haven't lived here for a couple of years.
I'm excited. We get to hang out sometime on March 13th.
Yeah.
Put it in your calendar. We've got a big mixer in our office.
Oh, what is it?
It's an office mixer.
Oh, great. Cool. Nice.
Yeah, you're invited.
I'd probably go down in my pajamas.
Right on.
Or maybe not.
Now, so let's talk about the journey, though, because it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
How did you arrive here to this conclusion, and how has your practice been informed by the studying that you've done?
Right. Well, it's been a really interesting journey, I guess. Both myself and my partner Tess, we're both very, very self-motivated. And very, like, sort of, very choleric people, I guess you could say. Like, let's go and get this done. And, you know, we've definitely seen a lot of pluses and or pros and cons of that way of working. One, we were like, wow, we could have definitely been informed by more experience before we really dove into it when we did, but. Because we did it the way we did, we've had a really interesting learning curve because we've increasingly had to seek out all of the farmers around us and all of the community around us to really figure out how to do what we're in the middle of doing, you know. And so that was an interesting approach. I might not recommend it to everyone. There's definitely easier ways to learn, but a lot of what we did was at first very self-taught, and then, you know, throughout the just amazing amount of resources in the community, such as yourselves, or it's funny, this is my second interview today. I just was talking with the Farmscape Ecology folks as well, who are doing these farmer
with
narratives.
Anna, aren't they great?
Yeah, it's just like the work that people are doing around here with food culture and with with just documenting what's going on, it's amazing. And so these resources are really what has kind of kept us going, because otherwise we would probably have just been like, all right, we kind of have to fold our hand of cards and maybe just find another way to do this. But really, like, through the amount of stuff that's going on in the community, it's really actually making it possible to be, you know, a starting farmer today, I think. So it's a great environment to try and
do. You're saying all the right things. I just want to cut you off so that you don't say anything negative. We could just use it right there as a grant proposal.
Okay, totally, exactly.
But, so for those who aren't familiar with the Hudson Valley and its treasures, could you just give a little overview? What's going on in the valley?
Oh geez, what do you mean in terms of food? In terms of culture? I think there's so much going on, which is what really makes it unique to me, is that I can be like a farmer, which, you know, as you know, takes up a lot of time and energy and stuff, but I can also be really surrounded by you know, the rejuvenation of all this cultural stuff that's going on as well, and just, you know, like, having been in Hudson over the years, seeing new cafes open, new like places open that are, you know, serving, you know, like Grays and Angus, or all these, you know, all these just so many, you really see that the entire like way of thinking is making a shift. And I really, you know, I've just been in Texas, and I was working there on a farm, doing the same thing, and it was awesome. And, you know, I helped with the Austin Farmers Market and stuff, but it's just not like it is here. You know, it's like really, there's just so much happening here that it's like blows my mind. You know, like just in the past year, we delivered a lot of stuff to local 111 and in Philmont, and that was a really great relationship to have. And now this new place, Crossroads, in Hillsdale, which also looks really amazing. And checking that out more. So, I mean, just everything.
And what was the farm in Texas?
The farm in Texas, it was called Monkebo Farm. And we went, it was a great farm. We actually went we went through the WOOF program. Just kind of really missed gardening. So we found some people who were still doing it this time of year. And it was really great, actually. We went down there and spent a lot of time just learning about running the operation that they have, and especially farming ducks, which we're really, really interested in doing in the future as well, because they had 400 or 500 ducks, and we just fell in love with ducks while we were there. So, might be a duck farmer soon.
Well, ducks, you can charge a pretty penny for a good duck, and people like to eat it in a restaurant.
Absolutely, yeah.
Folks I know down in Virginia say that when the pastured chicken market fills up, there's usually still a lot of pastured duck market left to go around.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, just the eggs themselves. We were gathering a couple hundred eggs a day down there where we were, and they're just amazing. They're so different to a chicken egg, so much fuller and richer, and they're a slightly acquired taste, but just really talk about an animal that doesn't go around tearing everything up like a chicken. That's my beef with the chickens. Is that they tear up so much stuff and they get out and they, where the ducks, they're just they'll bump into walls with their big bills and like. And then they can only do as much damage as their bill can do. That's about it. There's nothing else that they have to do damage, and they're easy to catch and, easy to kind of keep. And they're friendly, which is great. So.
They seem friendly. We can't yeah. Project too much of our human feelings onto the ducks.
Right. They could actually.
They might not be friendly.
Inspiring. They could.
That's my perspective about that. Okay, moving forward. So, you're walking into this farm, now you're in your second season, you have new land, less scattered, focused, good team. What skills are you bringing to the table? What were you doing until now? Before farming?
Before I was farming, I ran a stonemasonry business for about I ran the stonemasonry business since 2004, so about almost 10 years. And before that, I was doing this masonry apprenticeship. So that's really where my business experience comes from, is from running a masonry contracting business, and really kind of eventually just feeling that there's much more need for farming, and especially, above all, more need for food to be accessible to people. So that's really, and actually, especially food to be accessible to myself, because I kind of have this, I just had a really unhealthy lifestyle, and I knew that I had to really connect myself to something else, something that's, more tangible, and for my own survival, and for the survival of the community, and something that I could really feel better about. I love stonemasonry, and I really look forward to doing a lot of stonemasonry on the new property that we're on. And one thing we're planning to do is build a processing shed out of stone. So that'll kind of be an opportunity for me to still keep up with both trades a little bit, but also really be benefiting the one. So, yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing up until then. I studied the independent study through Goddard College for about 9 semesters or so, and I plan to finish off my studies eventually through some kind of individualized program like that. Maybe Gaia University, which is another sort of self program, or self-initiated degree program, and I'd really like to just keep doing what I'm doing, farming, and get a degree doing it. And I think that now there are ways out there, and I really want to kind of be a part of reinventing that. So, yeah.
All these hippie schools just giving out degrees for farming. What a...
Yeah.
It's a good time we live in. We're all getting accredited. Anyway,
yes, exactly.
I won't be... I'm coming out of a state system. I don't always see eye to eye on all that stuff, but...
Yeah.
So it is. And obviously, Hoffler's Alley is a great place for continuing education. Have you looked into their vocational training?
Well, you know, I bet if I had not grown up in Harlemville, I probably would. I just think that for my own variation, I've kind of taken other routes a bit more. Although, like, you know, one thing that I really have a strong interest in is biodynamics. So I definitely plan to utilize a lot of what they have. Also the stuff that the Farmscape Ecology is doing with this, with the Farmers Research Circle, and all the young farmers, or young and old farmers, you know, from all over coming together and really kind of brainstorming things that that affect us all a lot, and how we can really improve upon what we do. That, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of resources down there in Hawthorne Valley. But it's where I'm from, so it's kind of like, you know, how much am I just indoctrinated to the love where I'm from? I don't know.
Time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah, but I definitely love it as a place. I love Hawthorne Valley in many ways. It's definitely a home to me. And I think that over the years they've accomplished some amazing stuff, which I definitely think I can learn a lot from. So, yeah. But
so I just want to make
really
sure that I remind you that we have Farm Hack coming up March 10th and 11th at RISD down in Providence. In partnership with the Little City Growers Cooperative, which is the urban farming distribution and marketing cooperative, and other partners. So if you all wanted to get on a train down to Providence, you wouldn't have to walk very far to get to Amtrak. You could get all the way there.
Exactly.
And the next one after that is April 28th and 29th in Essex, New York, and in Intervale in Vermont. So it's both sides of the lake, but you can do that one by train too. We have a couple of extra cars that are going to be carpooling folks across the lake. So if you're interested, those are the next upcoming East Coast things. And you can tell your friends in Texas that we got a party on March 16th out at South by Southwest. We're doing it's the kickoff party for the Texas Young Farmers Coalition.
Oh, wow.
So those are the things coming down the pike, and I can't wait to meet you in person. Hopefully at the very beginning of March.
Yeah.
And you'll be busy doing your greenhouse, so maybe I'll come find you.
Can't miss us. You know, if you're driving out on 23B towards Claverack, we're right out there in the open. It's not like you got to look behind anything. We're plain for everyone to see, which is great. You know, like for our CSA as well, for folks in Hudson, they don't really have to leave town to go and do pickups. Which is super great, and that's really exciting to us to have that kind of accessibility to people as well. So, yeah.
Well, right on. I thank you for joining us, and have a great time. See you soon.
Thank you, Severin. All right, see you soon. Bye now.
White Oak Pastures is a 146-year-old multi-generational family farm that works in cooperation with nature to produce artisan meats that is safe, healthy, nutritious, and good to eat. Without fail, we ensure that our production practices are economically practical, ecologically sustainable, and that the animals are always humanely treated. We never falter in our determination to conduct our business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.